Black, stop playing with him.
What's going on, good people? Monday morning here, Sauce Talk. Let's talk about it. You know what we're here to talk about. You know what time it is. It's fight time on Sauce Talk. And over the weekend, we had one of the most highly, highly anticipated fights in the past, what some people were saying, 20 years. I was saying in the past, what, since Fury Wilder. Man, it's crazy that I wanted to do an episode immediately after the fight, but I just couldn't do it. I really couldn't do it, man. And taking the moment of watching the fight again Sunday and really just going over some brass tacks and things of that nature, man, it just... I've come to find myself still in a state of not shock, but it's just in a state of like, wow. I mean, because the shock and saying of somebody winning, knowing that they can win, is not so much of an upset. Like, if Crawford would have, you know, Crawford wins, I would have taken that. I'm like, yeah. But how it happened is the thing that I cannot fully accept. And, you know, me... You know, I'm all in trying not to be biased, and everybody knew that I was going for Errol Spence in this fight, but I was not invested in that much to where excuses will be made. I'm taking away things from Terrence Crawford and things of that nature. That is the culture that I'm trying to get rid of by showing my dismay for it, rather be on X, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, on here, TikTok. There comes a time when, whenever something is going forward, that's like Joe Burrow. If he gets hurt for the rest of the year, he gets hurt for the rest of the year. That's something you can take away from the Cincinnati Bengals season. If Jalen Ramsey is hurt for the rest of the year, that's something you can take away from the Miami Dolphins. Not everything, just like with the Bengals, because there's still other guys that can perform. But in this boxing thing, with it being one-on-one, I think people get too caught up into certain things that out of their control to where they want to take away too much. Like, people, you can do that in life on everything. On everything. I would have got to work faster if it weren't for this red light. I would have got there 5 minutes early if it just went for this slow bastard in front of me. You know, like it's, but it's, why would I sit there and waste my time going through the motions of saying that every time? Of saying this, saying that. You know, it's like with people with excuses, or, you know, that you do so much excuses, they turn into lies and you become a liar. Like, it's just, it's mind boggling that people want to cop a plea in a sense of like, let's see, let's break this down a little bit. Let's break this down. You have in this world, you know, you have and your decisions and your principles, you have your, how can I put this? You're standing on you're standing 10 toes down on what you believe in and what you do. Errol Spence sit there and said that he chose to box as a kid because his dad pretty much made him. And that he was wanting to get out of it with his friends, and then he saw his dad wasn't playing, stayed with it, loved it, and kept doing with boxing. Terrence Crawford, somebody who took up boxing who was a, you know, multi-sport athlete, but he seemed like somebody that was going to be different than Errol Spence. Seemed like he jumped off the porch a little quicker than Errol, got into a little thing, which is like one of those things where somebody's like, he got shot in the back of the head and drove himself to the emergency room. It was like, damn, that's crazy. But he was trying to steal, you know what I'm saying? Like, crazy. I know he learned from that lesson. And God blessed him and kept him on this earth for a reason. Same thing as Errol Spence later on in life with the car accident and things of that nature. The point I'm getting to is here, it's a magical money point here, is now we're in a situation where somebody's been in a traumatic situation on both sides in this fight. And how this fight went down, and it's crazy I'm opening up with this because I've just seen something that was, you can't, the social media world, you can't get nothing past anybody. Is that now they're suggesting that, you know, Errol Spence's eye from the car wreck has gotten worse, and that with sparring and been hit and stuff like that, that his eye is getting worse, and that he could not see the punches coming from Terrence Crawford. If Terrence Crawford would have lost, then all to his purpose, I feel like Terrence Crawford should have had a right to be like, man, I got shot in the back of the head. I started getting lopsided, started getting dizzy. You get what I'm saying? If you committed, Errol should have just retired then after the car crash. Terrence Crawford should have said, you know, I'm not going to box no more. Hear what I'm saying. If you committed, you're all in, and you're sitting there talking this, talking that, you're doing it for fame, you love the sport, money, and we're here to pay and watch. I don't want to hear all these excuses from other people like that, man. We didn't get that back in the day, man. That's why there's one thing I don't like about social media is that people care so much to make excuses for a person that doesn't put food in their mouth. I'm a fan of Errol Spence, but I'm not going to sit there and make 10,000 excuses for this man. He went out there, committed, put work in, looked in fantastic shape. Looked in fantastic shape. Hearing people talking about he was in the locker room getting high. Mike Tyson gave him a goodie bag and all this stuff like that. He just didn't look right. Now we're talking about his eye, and he couldn't see. This is the part where casual boxers get closer and closer to the door. Casual boxing fans get closer and closer to the door, and they vandalize and sit on the stoop, and instead of just going in and just listening and just paying heed, taking heed in what the sport brings, man. And the sport can bring some corrupt shit. Don't get me wrong, it definitely can pull some wool over your head, over your eyes. Definitely been some situations where you're like, wow, didn't know that. I mean, that's in everything life. I mean, like, we didn't know Jason Tatum was dealing with a little baby injury in the finals. And then we sitting there saying, did he sell? You know what I'm saying? All those things comes in there. And then the next year he loses again to the Heat. And it's like, did they sell? Or was it, what is it? You know, Lakers didn't have made it to the championship since the bubble. They're like, was it the bubble? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's getting so much into why this and this and that and all that stuff. Behind the scenes things and all that matters as well, but we can't sit there and hold it so strongly to where it's making excuses, man. You cannot do this to make excuses. You cannot take away from Terrence Bud Crawford and what he's worked his whole entire life for. Just the same thing, if Errol Spence would have won, you cannot take away from nothing. What are you going to say? Well, Terrence been shot in the back of the head. He couldn't take those punches from Errol. What was it? Was that what have been said? Like, man, he got shot in the back of the head. He started getting hit in the head. He ain't never been hit like that. He started getting hit, man. That he get shot like that, you know, that probably messed up his career now. Come on, we got to stop, people. We got to stop, man. Like, this man trained. If it would have been anything that would have prevented him from having this fight, it would have been put out there. The fact that how he got beat is what is alarming people to be like, damn. But that happens in all sports. Where we have seen the Carolina Panthers in 2016 beat the living hell out of the Arizona Cardinals in an NFC championship setting. It was like 37-6. Bruce Arians was the head coach. That Carson Palmer, they had the freaking livest offense that got him there. Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers beat the hell out of them. Their defense played absolutely phenomenal. 2 weeks later, they went on to the Super Bowl and got punished by a team that people thought they should have lost, one should have just flat out beat because what they did to the Cardinals. And they had old Peyton Manning, and they're like, oh, man, they ain't really got no much in the wide receiver department either. And, you know, C.J. Anderson, what is he going to do? They won. They won. That's what they did because they ran into Von Miller. Von Miller was Terrence Crawford. Carolina Panthers was Errol Spence. Everybody thinking, oh, man, like, even me. I'm sitting there like, Errol's going to win this fight, guys. Like, he's not going to be affected by the punches of Terrence Crawford. This is my keys to the thing for Errol Spence to win. I was like, he's not going to be affected by the punches thrown. He's going to get inside and go to work. He's going to negate the attack, the sneaky attack of the counter punches of Terrence Crawford with the jab. And he's going to do those things, and he's going to do them right. And what do we see? We see the same thing what Errol Spence has done to Ugas on down before the crash and after the crash. So we can't blame no crash here. We've seen Errol Spence do before the crash and after the crash what he did the first two rounds of that fight against Terrence Crawford. You can't sit there and try to make me believe that he was high or he couldn't did this and that. Man, come on, man. Like, let's stop the bullshit. Like, as a young kid say, let's stop the cap. Let's stop the cap. It makes no sense at all to where this man has to sit there and have to take this L and the memes and the jokes. And now you got to take this, I call it ignorant sympathy, ignorant excuse making, ignorant defense, ignorant support. Support this man by saying, hey, man, get back up on your two. If you feel like you can box, continue boxing. Don't rush into a rematch. I think you should take a tune-up or two. Take about 14 months, maybe 18 months. Get yourself back right. Because you're 33. By the time you're 35, Bud's 35. He'd be 37. If y'all want to get back in the ring, y'all get back in the ring. But I would take this time to try to fight Berrios or fight a Castano or fight a Tony Harrison, fight if Terrence don't fight Tim Mizzou, fight Tim Mizzou. You know what I'm saying? Like, but do not get back in that ring with Terrence Bud Crawford as a rematch. Or do not try to set up a big time fight with somebody that is going to make a mega fight. You just wouldn't do it. Roy Jones Jr. got stopped, and then the next fight he got stopped. And it's just such a difference where you just like, when you take that time and you get yourself back right, because it's a mental thing more than anything, than physical, to what happened to Errol Spence. It's more of a mental thing. Knowing that somebody was better than you and it only took about three rounds to figure it out. Knowing that, I'm pretty sure around third, fourth round, he probably was like, man, he better than me. There's no way that Errol was sitting there still confident after three rounds. No way. Especially after the knockdown in the second round. There's no way Errol felt confident or anything of like, damn, like, I can get this dude. You know, I got him now. There's no way. There's no way possible that came out of his mouth or in his thought. Terrence Crawford had a game plan. He followed it because he knew that Errol Spence didn't have a game plan B, C, D. He knew that. I know this. Like, I know Errol, and I'm going to follow this game plan. And what every time he throws a punch, I'm going to throw a punch. And by the time round four got there, he was beating him to the punch before Errol even got his punch out there. Because if you notice in the first two rounds, anytime Errol threw a jab, he threw a jab. And whenever Errol rushed him, try to get inside, throw the body, throwing hooks. And he did that until he finally threw the punches before Earl got the punch off. When Earl was flexing himself to throw the punch, Terrence was already timing himself to throw the punch. It's not his eye. It wasn't the fact that he was high. It wasn't the fact that he wasn't right or he didn't want to be there. I heard somebody say he didn't want to be there. Do you know how many times I done heard that? Holly Holm, Deontay Wilder. This has been the past 2 years you done heard this from people like, you could just look, they just didn't want to be there. Why are we going to keep using that excuse? Why are we going to keep using that dumb, lame, old saying? Like, come on, guys. Like, can we understand that we're not professional fighters here? We are fans of that profession. We're not in it. We're not that. Yeah, if us regular people had a fight the next day and didn't train and prepare, we're going to look like we didn't want to be there. I guarantee you. Now, the money we make will probably drive us to put all that stuff on and get out there. But that's not going through the mind of Errol Spence Jr. or Terrence Crawford, because Terrence Crawford can sit there and you like, man, he looked like he didn't want to be there, man. Stone, stale face, going out there, had Eminem with him. But for some reason, Earl looked like he didn't want to be there. That man has looked the same before and after the accident. He's a person that looks like he stares off in space, even in real time, probably in school. You know what I'm saying? Like, he always looked glassy, kind of like, just like, oh, man, like, the way he talks, that, you know what I'm saying, like, that slow country twang he got, like, that's Earl Spence, man. He's been, like, even back then, whenever they was, you know, 5 years ago, when they was back in the backstage, that's how he was talking, that's how he was, his mannerisms and all that. Like, Terrence is one that's moving, sitting there and being goofy and stuff like that. Like, Earl is like how he said he was, like the Spurs. I'm pretty ordinary. Like, he's pretty ordinary. He's not nothing, no bells and whistles. Like, somebody handed him some Hennessy and he lost his damn mind and got in a damn car wreck. He's an ordinary guy that his dad brought him up in boxing because they love boxing together. It's one of the great stories right there. But it's just like, it sucks, because it's like, it waters down the result of the fight. It waters it down, and then people are like, man, it wasn't the biggest fight. It wasn't the biggest fight that could, you know, break records and stuff like that as far as the what the fight brought. But it's still what the production and everything and the fight that was made. I mean, you had the two big megastars coming together. But that's what happens sometimes, man. Sometimes somebody's just not up to it. And meaning that, not saying up to it, meaning like just an off night, he wasn't prepared for what Terrence Crawford had in his arsenal. He didn't understand that Derrick James had what he needed to do, and he couldn't do it. When you are so successful doing your thing and winning, Deontay Wilder, wink, wink, who another person y'all made excuses for due to these losses of Tyson Fury. Just be real here. When you don't want to learn new tricks, you're going to get your ass kicked. Michael Jordan couldn't fly in air no more. Couldn't just get to the rim and just put his body in harm's way and finish at the rim all the time anymore. Jumper. Turnaround jumper, let's pass a little bit, let's make him come to me and kick it. 6 championships. Wow. Who'd have thought? But I wonder who put that in his head. When Doug Collins, they fired his ass, they brought in Phil Jackson, and Phil Jackson said, hey, man, let's try something new here. Let's do this. Derrick James was giving Errol Spence the game. He didn't listen. Step around. Go around. Jab. Stay in front of the jab. Work off the jab. Go around. What did Earl do? Keep coming in front. Lay the jab. Hand down. Expose face. Batter. Didn't matter what eye he was getting hit on. He was getting hit on both eyes. He was getting hit in the nose first. talking about he couldn't see the punches coming. Hell yeah, he could see the punches coming. He's putting his hand up. He was not fast enough. He was not prepared. He didn't go around. He didn't circle around. None of that stuff, man. So now we have him saying after the fight that his eye wasn't nothing crazy. You know, just a little, like, what he was saying, like, he was sparring and he heard a pop in his eye. And then he took some time off. Then he sparred the next 2 days or whatever like that. So now people are concerned, and now they're saying, you know, of course, starting off with the sentence, I'm not trying to take him away from Terrence Crawford, but it's like, yeah, you are. Now y'all trying to say that he beat a blind guy, you know. Wasn't like the fight could have happened before the crash. Wouldn't like the fight could have happened before Terrence Crawford got shot in the back of the head either. You know, this is what I'm trying to say. We cannot use no damn excuse when a person signed the papers and being cleared by a medical commission, everything, the whole nine yards. Shut the fuck up. Because, you know, when people sit there and make the joke about DeMar Hamlin getting back on the field before some Mike Thomas, that's a real funny joke. And that's funny. That's real. It's like DeMar Hamlin, if I was DeMar, I'd be like, I'm done. I'm not playing football no more. I'm not. Mike Thomas just hurt his foot. And has gone through millions of dollars of rehab and recovery and everything. And he can't get back out there on the field because, I mean, I've seen people like, through the years, spat tape, cortisone, all that. That motherfucker ain't getting back out in that field because it's a different league now. It's like cortisone shots are bad, this, and you don't want to mess up this for your future, da da da. Which is cool. It's not if you want to look out for your future, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you ain't gonna get back out in the field. DeMar Hamlin, like, shit. Where do I sign? I'm getting back out there. I don't give a damn heart stop again. Errol Spence said, hey, if Errol Spence is his own person, he's his own man. If he's sitting there, can't see out of his left or right eye, and he put his dotted line on, or put his name on that dotted line, and he goes out there and fight, I don't give a fuck. Excuse my language. Terrence Crawford, same thing. He can sit there and wake up one day and be like, damn, I got a migraine I can't get rid of. And this, the complications of this. And he still puts down his name on a dotted line and goes and fights. I don't care after that point. It's too much excuses, man. Manny Pacquiao gets beat by Floyd. Well, Floyd waited till he got old. Floyd's older. Oh, my shoulder was hurt. Like, come on, man. Like, after every fight, like, what was it? Floyd was taking this before the fights and stuff like that. Like, trying to make an excuse to why he was so dominant at an older age. Floyd was, you know, he was experimenting with this, whatever like that. No proof, no evidence, no nothing. Deontay Wilder swears up and down Tyson Fury cheated, and with the glove and all that stuff like that, no evidence, no investigation, no proof. He swore up and down he had a mole in his camp, no evidence, no proof. Ryan Garcia swore he had a mole in his camp, no evidence, no proof. Oh, he had some injured ribs. Somebody told Tank Davis, no evidence, no proof. Lomachenko, when he lost to Teofimo Lopez. Oh, my shoulder was hurt. Now, I was sitting there laughing because when I seen the picture of him coming out of the hospital or something like that, I'm like, in a, you know, getting ready for surgery or whatever. Like, yeah, I said, oh, boy, good thing he came out with that. It's a good thing he came out with that. It's just too many excuses whenever somebody, if Lomachenko would have won, that man probably would have never went in no damn surgery. Wouldn't have went into surgery. We've seen somebody just be somebody like Floyd, I think that's another thing too. I think when we get so mesmerized of like people like Roy Jones, Floyd, Andre Ward, Pacquiao, put him in there too. You know, some of the biggest names that we've seen in over the years. Even, you know, you put Canelo in there because when he lost to Bivol, people was in there saying this and that and this and that and this and that. And excuses. I always sit there and say, man, I would have hated if Floyd would have lost. Because I would have been the most blunt Floyd fan of all time. And I know how he would have took a loss, you know what I'm saying? Certain losses, if he would have, if they would have been called a loss, how he would have took it. And how would his fan base and things of that nature, especially if people would hate him, but his fan base, how they would have made excuses and said this and that. I wouldn't have been one of them. Just saying. Just being real here. Mike Tyson, you know, Buster Douglas. Oh, man, he, you know, custom model diet. He wasn't taking his medicine. Look, he didn't even have a good training crew. It's Mike Tyson. Signed up the dotted line. It was him. He should have had everything prepared. Should have had everything ready to rock. Should have had a good training camp. He should have been ready, prepared, instead of trying to fuck everything moving in Japan. And he wouldn't have lost to Buster Douglas that night. We can't do this to these people that win and then after that, you know what I'm saying, and they lose and then you want to take away from the person that won and then next thing you know, when they lose, you want to take away from the person that beat them. We got to stop the cycle, guys. We got to stop the cycle. We got to stop it. You know, we got to give props where props is due, man. Like, I sit there and I hated the fact that, you know, whenever Erickson Lupin was coming up, and, you know, he got the fight against Jermell Charlo, and he got knocked out in the first round. It's like, damn, that really just happened. Like, oh, shit. Like, I didn't sit there and be like, man, he slipped. Or like, man, it was a lucky shot. Or he got beat, and then he got beat by Fundor. And it's just like, he's still one of my guys. I ain't going to sit there and just drop him. But I ain't going to make excuses for him. The one thing that I said against Fundor was, like, I've never seen a guy at 154 be that height. Like, you might as well just go to light heavyweight or heavyweight, brother. Like, put some weight on and be a nice heavyweight. You got the boxing skills and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't got to be super muscular or nothing, but with that height, just and long reach, could you imagine how good of a heavyweight he'd be? That was all I've ever said. Not no excuse for saying, like, I think I was like, Erickson probably should have maybe kept his distance because he was winning the fight. He was hurting Fundor, but he was trying to put him out, try to put him down. He kept getting too close, and that's when he ended up getting bopped upside the head. So, Esau Cruz, I'm going to talk about him in here in a little bit too, man. He's a bum. Terrible. But back to what I'm just saying, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. Esau, with that excuses, but I'm going to get to that. You know, there's excuses that people would make for somebody like him. Like, he's 5'4", you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody like Cabrera was sitting there just arm punching. But he was scoring points. You see, that's the excuse of saying why this man really shouldn't have won that fight. Honestly, he could have been a draw, could have lost. He was only landing, like, some hard shots every so often in a few rounds or so. He wasn't dominating. He wasn't ring generalship. He wasn't cutting the ring off. Let's be real here, man. Cabrera really, yeah, he might not have been throwing with a bunch of power, but he was landing shots and scoring points. That's what the whole art of boxing is. That's what pro boxing is, what you're supposed to judge on. That's what Terrence Crawford did to Errol Spence. He outscored him into a point to where the ref had to stop the fight because Errol was getting bing-bong, upside the head. To the point to where he got knocked down 3 times in 9 rounds. Man, let's talk about the first knockdown. The first knockdown, second round, Errol came out there, you know, trying to be, you know, saying a little bit, you know, with the jab, jabbing up top, jabbing down low. And it was like one of those times where he tried to jab to the body and try to start this body attack. And Terrence Crawford landed a good, nice, you know, jab. I mean, he landed a nice left and then a jab right there on the ear. Put him down. Jabbed him right there in the ear. Right below the ear. Not on directly on the ear, but right below the ear where that balance is just kind of, and he got him down. And that balance right there, what we're gonna say, his eye made him dizzy. You know, we're the excuse makers, what are gonna say. He was high. See, he's sitting there back there smoking. Oh, it's crazy. Gets up, gets himself together. Third round comes. He comes out there throwing crazy shots, trying to get back into the fight. And he gets hit with some more shots. And there's some telling shots to where it was like, whoa, fourth or fifth round, he gets hit with this left hand that was crazy, man. It was crazy how he got hit with that joint. The second knockdown, I believe, came in the seventh round when he just really kind of overextended. And Terrence just, you know, I think Terrence didn't even really have to use his full maximum speed for that counterpunch. I mean, like, he was right there. He stared at him and just threw it. And he went flying across the ring. And then, of course, I think it was eighth round. And then he went over there, I think seventh or eighth round. He went over there to Jermell Charlo and was like, you next. And, of course, Earl trying to get up, trying to get himself right. I'm sitting there like, please don't stop this fight. Earl, get yourself together. And Derrick James was trying to tell him what to do, man. Like, he was telling him some good shit, man. Step around. Don't, you know, don't sit there and come at him being a target. You know what I'm saying? Being both southpaw in that fight, step around. Move to your left. You know what I'm saying? You know, get away from that jab. Also, use your jab, moving to the left. And work your way that way. That way you're not rushing yourself in. You could have won a fight in a different way instead of trying to rush in and go to the body. Those shots could have came later on in the fight, but you could have just worked your jab and then worked your left hand, straight left hand. He was throwing a winding left hook. He never threw a straight left, none in that fight. So, I mean, like, Derrick James was trying to put him on a path to be successful, and he just wasn't getting it together, man. And it's just sad. And it's sad, you know, because when the ninth round came, you know, it seemed like he was at least trying to land some hard shots, and he kind of landed the left over the top. And, Terrence was never bothered. And you could tell he wasn't bothered, because when Gamboa hit him, you could tell, and he kind of got hit by your boy, and you kind of could tell. Benavidez hit him a little something you could tell. Earl didn't hit him with something where you could tell anything. And Earl thought he had him. So he went over there to try to do a quick little, you know, what he does whenever a fighter gets on the ropes. And Terrence hit him with two phantom punches that you really can't see, but in slow motion, he hit him hard twice. And that's how he fell. Some people were sitting there watching, like, how'd he get knocked down right there? Like, he hit him with two of the most meanest, shortest, sharpest punches I've ever seen, man. It was crazy. I think somebody cried at the end of that fight on how amazed he was by that performance. Like I said, that was the best performance I've ever seen in their life. I heard somebody say they started watching boxing in 2006, and that was the best performance they've seen by any boxer in a big magnitude fight. I mean, that's pretty big, man. That is pretty big to say. I mean, like, I've through the years, I've given props to Floyd on a lot of fights, you know. The Canelo one, I stand out. Cotto is one of my favorites. You know, Oscar De La Hoya, of course. Zab Judah. But, man, when you think about big fights and how they perform, people, how they perform and how they go out there and they do their job. I mean, I always think back, like, Kelly Pavlik and Jermaine Taylor. It boasted him up to go up there and get beat up by Bernard Hopkins. You think back at Paul Williams' performance on Antonio Margarito. You think back at some amazing performances by one night by one fighter. You know, Andre Ward and Chad Dawson. I got plenty of them in my brain, man. When you sit there and just like, man, they put on work. You know, Floyd versus Baltimore, Floyd versus Ricky Haddon, Pacquiao versus I think one for Pacquiao for me that I liked the most was his fight. I think it was the second fight against Marquez, man. Sometimes a fighter can just look so good and go through a little bit of adversity too, like Pacquiao did, or kind of like how I would say an example. Like Roy Jones against Antonio Tarver won. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody to dig deep. You know, when somebody go through adversity that can dig deep and be able to and pull out a victory. Devin Haney, 12th round against Lomachenko. You know, that's something where you can gain somebody's respect right there, man. You know, those other fighters still waiting for that moment. You know, they're waiting for that round. They're waiting for that three or four rounds whenever they're down and they can just, you know, claw their way back up. That's something that Terrence Crawford has had to do early in his career in the 130s. And, you know, he showed us being a two-time undisputed champ in two divisions that one division you might not look at as something very highly competitive at the time, but you got to look at somebody's record of 39-0 who's been through it, you know what I'm saying? But waited for this moment. Errol Spence waited on that moment. He wanted Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman didn't want it. He had to wait and pander and wait and all this stuff like that. Fight Ocampo. He fought Danny Garcia. He fought Sean Porter. He fought Mikey Garcia. He had some adversity with the car crash. Came back. Ugas. Got Ugas out of the way. And now, you know what I'm saying, like, when we came to this fight right here, when you sitting there thinking that what he's able to do through his career, that he was going to be able to do to Terrence, and he just wasn't able to. And that is the thing that people need to understand, the excuse makers out there, the people that want to sit there and make giant excuses. That's what happens in fights. Styles make fights. Terrence's style was just too good for Errol Spence. It was too standard. He didn't have a plan B. He never moved his head, never boxed, never bobbed his head, never did nothing. He never was on his feet, never danced. He never moved, used the ring. He was a person that was a moving, I mean, was a standing target. And Terrence Crawford was like, hell, I'm not even going to just beat you. It seemed like he was just like, if you throw a punch, I'm going to hit you. Anytime you throw a punch, I'm going to bust you up. And I just like, only time he really got on attack whenever Errol didn't throw nothing was like when he knocked him down and he went after him. When he, you know, he went to finish him in the ninth. But other than that, he was just waiting. Like, he was playing fight night. Somebody was just waiting on the counterpunch, which is boxing. He knew, you're gonna give me the fight. Thank you, sir. Sometimes as a fighter, when you have that in your arsenal, you might have to dial that back. And he just didn't. And I know Derrick James didn't tell him to keep doing what he's doing because we heard what he was saying over there. So people with excuses, please, man, please. Get off the N-U-T's at ease. As Earl gets himself back together, you know, like I said, I would take about 14 to 18 months, a couple of fights where, you know, you might fight somebody lower than Terrence, Charlo, or somebody like that, dangerous. Don't go and fight Boots Ennis, because I think Boots will put something on you. After what we've seen, you got exposed. That's when people say you get exposed. You got exposed, man. Full exposure. He has one trick pony, and you can stop it. Hit him in the face. Because the one thing that what he was able to do in those fights against Kell Brook, Sean Porter, where it got kind of ugly a little bit, he didn't allow himself to get pummeled because there was an intimidation there. It was less with Sean Porter, more with Kell Brook, but when you're putting pressure on somebody like that and you're hitting them, because Sean Porter was sitting there saying, he's like, he hit me where, like, I watched the playback and was like, dang, I ain't never been hit like that before. And you feel that in a fight, you, like you said, I done hit many times and you don't really grade or rank how hard you got hit, but he recognized how hard he got hit and remembers probably like, damn, that's probably why I didn't do this. That's probably why I didn't do that. Terrence was a person like, man, I'm not worried about that. And because he felt the power in the first round. So he was like, he ain't hitting that hard. And some people just got it. That man got shot in the back of the head and drove himself to the emergency room. I've seen that man go into a shop. It was the same Monte Carlo that he used to sit there and peel rubber on. That, I love that video. He went right in that shop. They was bullshitting him. He went right up in that shop, got his car off the lift. Because, you know, that's what shops do. They put your car up on the lift and act like they can't move it and do all that shit. This is a world champion right here. He could have bought that shop. And y'all trying to give him the runaround. He went in that shop and lowered his car and drove it up out of there. That's Terrence Bud Crawford, man. And I've been a fan of this person since back of knowing this stuff and watching him on Friday nights. I remember Bud Crawford. I remember Errol Spence. I chose a side when they first locked horns backstage of, I can't remember what fight it was. I think it was a Tank Davis fight. It might have been a Tank fight. It might have been just one of those lightweight fights. I think it was Mikey Garcia fighting somebody. But might have been Mikey Garcia and Broner. But they had the interaction. And I picked Errol Spence because he sparred Floyd Mayweather. And Floyd Mayweather was like, boy, he's a bad man. And when Floyd give you an endorsement, you're all right with me. You know? You feel what I'm saying? That is it right there, man. Like, I couldn't be biased on the situation. So I'm giving my props to Terrence Crawford, who's going to go on and maybe do the rematch at 154. He says, no problem. Earl wants to do the rematch at 154. We may see that at the end of the year. I don't know what Earl could do to get in better, to get in better form to beat Terrence Crawford at this point, after what I was just saying. If it was a close knockout, drag out, barn burner fight, it came down to a 115, 114 type deal, 115, 113 type deal, then I'll be sitting there saying, you know what, rematch is on a popping, 154, Earl gonna get him this time. But after what we just saw, there's no fucking way that Terrence Crawford should get back in the ring to beat the hell out of Errol Spence like that. He shouldn't have the right. Because that's exactly what would happen again if they got back in the ring by the end of 23. And now, if it was late 24, early 25, I could dig it. Because Earl needs two fights. Hear me on this. He needs two fights. Errol Spence needs two freaking fights to get himself back to work, because I've seen what happened to Roy. I've seen what happened to many people that lost and comes back and is never good. Kelly Pavlik, same thing. He lost to Bernard Hopkins, went back down to his weight class, and continued to lose. Tony O'Tarver thought shit was sweet, got in there, Bernard Hopkins, got his ass whooped after a loss. Because I think he lost to, I forgot who it was he lost to, and then he went in there against Bernard. Or Bernard lost, and I can't remember. I want to say he took an L and then tried to fight Bernard up at light heavyweight because he thought Bernard was old, and Bernard whooped his ass. So I remember. And that was the last time I seen Tarver. Sometimes after an L, you just can't come back. You can't rush, man. You cannot rush. And you cannot. Jermaine Taylor, same thing. I've seen it. You can't rush. You can't rush to get the biggest fight. Put it that way. You can rush to get back in the ring, but at least know you can beat the fuck out of somebody. Words of wisdom. Man, I can't. It was tough. It was a tough one, man. It was a toughie. Other thing I want to touch on real quick. Yeah, man, bad night for Texas, man. It was just a bad weekend for Texas in general, man. It was ever since it hit Friday, Saturday, Sunday, man. It was just horrible for Texas. Other than Frank Martin in boxing, that he had his little interaction with Keyshawn Davis, and I felt like he won that interaction. He felt like he was the man. He was the real grown man in that situation, and he was. And he told him, I don't really know much about you. And I hear a lot about you talking shit about me. I don't really know nothing about you. So whenever you ready to rock, come holler at me. And that was it. And, you know, everybody, of course, tried to make it more, try to get him to talk more and stuff like that. Keyshawn, this, I fuck him up and all this stuff like that. But later on, Keyshawn was sitting there talking about, I'm only 9-0. Wait till I get to 18-0. That is the most terrible, most horrible thing you can say in a boxing interaction with somebody that's gunning for you. What do you want me to wait? Like, huh? Huh? You was talking shit. You did a video. You made a whole video, a 5-minute video after my match that I won. But now you talking about, y'all coming after me? I'm only 9-0. Wait till we get to 18-0. Goes back to when Andy Ruiz beat you and he was dancing all over the ring and you sitting there trying to hype up yourself and Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg made a complete mockery out of you. Keyshawn. You'll learn. You will learn. Frank Martin,
like I said, the only person in Texas that had a good time. If you think about Jermell Charlo, who had to sit there and watch Errol Spence get battered and bruised, you know, he's happy that he's got the fight of his life against Canelo September 30th. But, you know, you moving up two weight classes and you looking at something that could happen to you. On the flip side, you just saw your twin brother get embarrassed by Caleb Plant, who tried to smack the shit out of Canelo. Canelo moved out the way on that shit back when they fought, but he pulled the same thing with Jamal, and Jamal said, damn, I couldn't move, and got bleep, 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 bleep. I mean, his face, that smack was so clean, man. Like, Jesus, man. Canelo was like, not me. Not me. Jamal got all of that smack, and then his wife went out there and got mollywopped. Oh, God. Lions only. Lions only. Feel bad for Texas. Then Earl gets his ass whooped. Derrick James got to sit there and take this L wholeheartedly. I think Esau Cruz is from Texas, too, and he got his ass whooped. Ain't Esau Cruz from Texas? I could have sworn he's from Texas, man. If I'm not mistaken, he's from Texas. Let me get a quick check on that. Cause man, he looked terrible. He's from Mexico City, okay. He's from Mexico City. Terrible. Feel bad for Texas, man. See? That's what being a Cowboys fan would do to you. No, I'm just playing. Earl gonna be alright though, man. He can beat pretty much anybody. In these two weight classes of 147, 154, he can definitely beat Harrison. He can beat Castano. He can beat Jared Hurd. He can definitely beat Ahami Magia. And with those fights I just named, I think he could. You know, what I'm saying, I think he can handle himself against Jermell Charlo. I think he can really handle himself against Terrence Crawford. But he would have to take the time to really get some other things. Me sitting there saying that he can beat anybody is me saying with improvements. Now that we've seen him be exposed, I mean, everybody get the blueprint and get behind what Terrence Crawford did, then there won't be no pressure. It won't be no bang you out. That's dead. Antonio Tarver, before the fight, was asked the question who had the better chance of a KO, and he said Crawford, and he said the most perfect thing where he called it down to what happened. He called it. And I watched that video before the fight. It was around 1 o'clock on Saturday. I was leaving to go get some food. And I was watching a video and I laughed. I was like, yeah, but I said, that pressure though, it ain't going to have Terrence Crawford doing all that counter shit. You know, that pressure shit going to have him, you know, say on his bike. Wrong. He invited the pressure and he actually, it was funny in the eighth round. He had Errol Spence on his bike. Errol Spence started running a little bit there. It got real, man. It got real, real. It got real, real, man. I hated that for old Earl, man, because, you know, the jab just wasn't working the way he was trying to push it. And, you know, Terrence Crawford was just doing so perfect. And he looked like Pernell Whitaker at one point in the later rounds before he finished him. He started walking and just, jab, who right hand, who? But he was timing every time Earl was ready to do something. And that is when you perfected somebody, not perfected boxing, but you just perfected somebody where you know he's throwing a straight, bop, he's throwing a jab, bop, he's throwing a body shot, bop. That's what he was doing. That little leg, that little slick little left hook he threw whenever Earl thought he was going to try to sneak and come up and throw a little something, he said, yeah, I'll take that with you. In the knockdown, the second knockdown, he hit Terrence, but he already got hit two times. Before we didn't even see it. You go back and watch fast motion on that about 10 times. You will never see Terrence Crawford hit Errol Spence until you go to slow motion. That's how dialed in Terrence Crawford was. God, that was great, man. He put on a performance, man. That was just, and that's why you say you can't take away from that. You can't make all these excuses and do all that bullshit. It just waters it down and it just makes it sick. You know, it makes it so bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if everybody made an excuse after every loss, man? Like, and it was in the red. You put an asterisk after every win. You know, Steph was hurt. That's why the Cavs won. Kawhi won because KD got hurt. Da 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 da. So that don't count. So, I mean, through all the years, be like, hey, remember, that one don't count because, you know, KD got hurt. Yeah. Oh, that don't count, bro. You remember, man. They should have gave Marshawn the ball. If they didn't give him the ball, that's an asterisk. No. No. Only asterisk is if it's postponed, he got hurt, he was this, didn't happen, he popped dirty. That is it. If the fight doesn't go down, if his ankle would have fell off, if he probably pivoted and tore his ankle off, then you can say something like that. If he started throwing up in the second round because he had a stomach virus, boom, you got that. But the fact that he got his ass whooped, we cannot try to make excuses for that. Because you put that in the air so much on the internet, he'll start believing it, then he'll start making excuses, then he'll go around in interviews and start saying it, then he's going to start looking bad to Deontay Wilder, man. We've seen it. UFC 291 happened Saturday night as well. Dana White always likes to compete. He loves to compete. I love fucking Friday. I like when they do that thing on TikTok where you'll be trying different foods and stuff like that. It's always fun. But UFC 291 headlined the BMF title. The title they've made up. You know, been partners with WWE. They're trying to have that feel. You know what I'm saying? They got the BMF belt. They have it for main events from time to time. Co-main events. Belt really don't mean a whole lot to the sport other than just being a bad motherfucker. Usually the bad motherfucker is the champ, like the champ instead of having that. So maybe if you are the bad motherfucker champ, you should get automatic title shot. Am I right? But it doesn't happen that way, I don't think. I don't think Justin Gaethje is going to get a title shot automatically against, can't say his name, Makalev. I'm just saying. Is he? Is he not? I don't know. Really? Volkanovski. Shit. Tripping. He's the featherweight champ. He really did beat Islam, though. I don't care. I felt like he won that fight. I don't care. Now, the rematch, he might get beat. He might get beat bad. But that night, Volkanovski won that fight. I don't care what nobody say. But anyway. Kevin Holland is one of the most funniest, nerdy black dudes I've ever seen in my life. Like, he's like one of those, like, Cali dudes where he talks like a nerd, but he really is like a real nigga. Like, he is so funny, but it's funny, the way he throws the sayings out and stuff real quick and stuff like that. His interview is always entertaining. And he goes by Kung Fu. His discipline is Kung Fu. And I just love his ways of fighting. And like he said about Michael Chiesa, he's done. He needs to retire. He needs to focus on commentary. Doesn't need to fight no more, man. He's hilarious. Derek Lewis comes out there with a six-pack, but he came out there with a flying knee, ended the fight quick. He looked good, took his shorts off. Of course, the balls got hot. And it's crazy, when I was watching the video, and he was saying on Joe Rogan that he really don't have any mixed martial arts experience, man. It's Derek Lewis, man. And he's a good thing for the sport. He's there's UFC, WWE comparisons and things they have in common is to have certain faces that, yeah, he wouldn't be a champ for. He wouldn't reign as a champ. He couldn't beat John Jones. He couldn't beat some of these people. But he's entertaining to the people where you could put him against somebody. People want to come and see Derek Lewis. I would love to see Derek Lewis live. So I think that's something where they have hand-to-hand of entertainment that, yeah, UFC is real. You're going to have real outcomes. You're going to have real moments. But they set things, they set the stage to where, yeah, we're going to see Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier too for the BMF belt. That wouldn't happen, you know, in a main event type setting in boxing. That'd be undercard. But this right here is like, yeah, we're going to make that let's do it. Let's wrap it all up, man. You know, let's do the damn thing. Jan Blachowicz goes up against Alex Pereira in the co-main event. Pereira, first match at 205, looked good out there. He looked the part. Like I thought, and he won the match in a decision. And Blachowicz, strong, good kid, good strong man, you know. But the one thing about Blachowicz is that it's not so much to him. You know, he's strong, he's dangerous, not too much to him. That could be beaten relatively easily in the octagon if you're not knocking somebody out in the first two rounds. So just putting it out there that way. Now, I betted these all on the ticket. I was hitting all of them. Bobby Green knocks out El Kakui. which I figured could happen just going on just that you've seen El Kukui just not have what he used to have. And I think his main thing was his energy, his durability. Those was his keys to being dominant. He wasn't all that skillful. He had a lot of different things in his arsenal with a size that was kind of almost like being a weight bully in the weight class he was in. And he's throwing elbows and repeating punches and kicks and da-da-da-da-da. And he can do some things on the ground as well. He can tap you out and stuff like that. But once he lost a step and then started getting knocked out, it changed you as a fighter. And Bobby Green took advantage of that. He slipped. He was sitting there hitting him with 1-2s every time he was beating him to the punch. When they got him to the ground, he choked him out. And you can see him not wanting to tap. And it was crazy. Bobby could have killed that man. Really could have killed him. It's crazy. Hit on that one. Then come later on, we had, you know, the main event with Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier. And both of these guys, they don't like to go to decision. And we know what happened. But it's crazy to happen with a double punch, like with a punch and kick combination. Good night. But the last punch, everybody's looking at, man, everybody does it. Dan Henderson started it with Michael Bisping. Everybody gets that last punch, especially when it's a rivalry match, when it's it's some feel to it. You know, Aljamain Sterling and I forgot his damn name. With the braids, they're gonna have a good fight, man. I'm pretty sure that animosity might bring that out. If it's a stoppage, somebody might get that last little hammer fist. O'Malley, I had to get his name right there. Sean O'Malley. Entertaining guy, but I'm definitely pulling for Aljamain in that. I was glad he got the title from, and you know, he's holding it down. That's next. You know what I'm saying? This was a good card, though. UFC 291 went bad. It was good moments. Like I said, Kevin Holland is always good to see. Alex Pereira, I knew he was going to get the win. Gaethje, good job. Backflip off the damn cage. Won me some money. I think the only thing I can say before I get out of here is that, man, my Yankees, man, I don't know what's going on with them. They got to get it together. My Lakers are saying we can project to win 50 wins this year. That's good. We got some time to wait on that. Hitting August, though, it's crazy how time is flying. Speaking of August, we're almost hitting college football area about 20-some days or so, maybe less than that. You know, Miami Hurricanes, what they're saying is that we're battling trying to get these recruits and people transferring and verbally and changing their minds. We're battling trying to get players that is verbally committed to other teams and trying to come to us. But we're projected to win 8 games. 8-4 is what we're projected. So, I mean, like, hopefully we can kind of defy the odds, maybe knock off a Clemson, who they're saying that we're going to lose to. Hopefully we can do that. In Virginia Tech, I think they said we're losing to Virginia Tech, too, which is weird. But, NC State. That's who they said we was going to lose to. We're not losing to NC State. I doubt that very seriously. But anything else I wanted to add is the fact that the whole 25% thing with Shakur Stevenson, I wanted to add that in his last 3 minutes, is the fact that Shakur Stevenson was not going to accept the 25% because he knew that Devin Haney wasn't trying to fight. People were sitting there trying to go off of this interview that Devin Haney did over the weekend, sitting there talking about, I was prepared, you know, I did it, I was going to do it for him, 25% to try to fight the best, the Undisputed King, and I would have took the fight. No, you wouldn't have. I'm calling cap. You're waiting on Regis Prograis. You are not going to fight Shakur Stevenson. You were going to stall him out and not make the fight happen. And you was going to take the fight with Regis, and it's going to mess up his plans for his next fight talks and everything like that. He was not signing that contract because he knew what you was going to do. You were not trying to fight again at 135. We know this already, Devin Haney. So don't try to play that game. Now, we know you took a lesser contract to fight George Kambosos. Hell, anybody would. It's George Kambosos. I mean, it's an easy win. You are not an easy win. We're giving you props saying that you're good. But he's not sitting there saying he's scared of you. I think Shakur Stevenson knew in the situation, if I'd have took this fight and you wouldn't have took it, I would have been asked out on other negotiations. Two, if I would have took this fight at 25% and sit there and had a barn burner hell of a fight and people talked about it for years, he wouldn't have reaped the benefits from it. Because some people want their pockets money. They want their pockets to be lovely. Two, whenever it's a good fight, you know, you'd be sitting there like, man, that was a barn burner. I lost by one round. And then at least you could be happy that you got broke off. Not licking him like that. Now, if you win by one round, you're like, yeah, I'm the champ. But damn, you know what I'm saying? Now in the next fight, you're hungry for the next big payday. But at least you're the champ. I dig it. But if you lose a barn burner fight and you only getting 25%, it doesn't feel too great in the pockets, man. It just doesn't. Let's be real. Let's be realistic, humanistic here. So with the Eddie Hearns and the people out there saying, take the 25% like George Kambosos and his camp, you take the contract and you sign it to fight Shakur Stevens, let him mop you for 12 rounds, and then he can end up being a future lightweight undisputed champion in the future, him or Tank. That's the matchup that I really want to see. And if he signs a contract to fight Tank, how the hell would y'all figure he was scared to fight Devin Haney? You just got to understand that it's the rules of boxing and how people are, man. It's how people are. So for the casual fans out there, I need y'all to do better. I need y'all to do better. Stick with the sport. Love it. Do better. Quit making excuses. Quit always thinking a conspiracy way out. And quit thinking that boxing is just some corrupt ass, which is every sport is. Every sport has its corruptness. But boxing is okay. Y'all keep watching. Y'all enjoy. UFC 291 was good. Y'all hope y'all enjoy y'all's week. I'm going to be back on. Sauce Talk is out.